All right, we're getting here on the top of Ted Vav and Aleph, the new Perek. Mishnah says, Kodshei Mizbeach Mitztarfim Zeim Zeh. When it comes to Isurim, with regards to the Mizbeach, then the Kodshei Mizbeach can be Mitztaref one with the other, Limi'ilah, for Me'ilah, which generally involves a issue of a Shaveh Pruta. And so therefore, if you have different Korbanot, those different Korbanot, you can combine them to create the pruta that you need in order to violate mi'ilah. So Rashi says over here, even if you have bet minei kodshei mizbeach, even if you have two different korbanot, you can join them together. Although, the way Tosafot says it over here, imachal basar ola zo, chatzi zayit, masar ola acheret chatzi zayit, Tosafot seems to indicate it has to be the same korban, even though it's two different animals, as Rashi is indicating that it can even be two different korbanot. But I don't think that Tosafot means to exclude two different korbanot, because it says generically here, kodshei mizbeach, ar mitztaref, one to the other. Rashi, on top of that, adds in the other items that it is effective for. Some of them we'll see in the Mishnah, which is that also, mitztaref nami the kazayit. So with regards to mila, the threshold shiur is pruta. With regards to things that are achila, then the threshold shiur is kazayit. And that will be chayav for, as we'll see now in the Mishnah, the chayav aleh mishum pigul notar vitamei. So they can combine for pigul notar and tamei with regards to a kezayit. And Rashi adds in, oh, the chayav mishum male bachutz. Rashi adds in the fact that you also be chayav if you're makriv a kezayit worth of these items bachutz, that you could be chayav for shkutei chutz or for akravat halab bachutz. Now that's not muskam lakol. And you could see differentiating between them because of the fact that halab b'chutz has to be something that's ra'oi b'fnim. So ra'oi b'fnim has to be something that if you put on a mizbeach b'fnim would have been acceptable. Over here, a chatzi kazayit from this korban, a chatzi kazayit from another korban b'fnim is not a hakrava because they have nothing to do with each other. And therefore, maybe b'chutz you would not be chayav. Rashi argue, even if you put a chatzi kazayit of this, a chatzi kazayit of this on the mizbeach, it's still allowed to go on the mizbeach and therefore you'll be chayav b'chutz. But Rashi adds in that additional factor. The Bali at Tosafot mentioned over here the fact that b'chein l'man damar kaman d'mi'ilah b'shaveh pruta. So he mentions that it's a kezayit. And according to the one who says that it's a shaveh pruta, then it has to be a half a pruta and half a pruta to add up. Which implies that Tosafot thinks that there is a inyan of kezayit by mi'ilah. We find that the violation of mi'ilah is by a pruta. It's a value-based threshold. It's not a kezayit achila generated type of isur. So either you have to argue that it depends on how you're violating the mi'ilah, which is that if you're violating mi'ilah through hana'ah, then pruta is the threshold. If you're violating mi'ilah through achila, then the threshold would be a kezayit. Although again, that's not as straightforward, but that's the way you would explain this Tosafot, because otherwise we know that the threshold for mi'ilah, the way that we learn it, at least the way we paskin is a pruta. Right, then we have kodshei bedek abayit mitztarfim zeim zeh. So now, just like kodshei mizbeach can combine or can consolidate to get to your shiur, so too kodshei bedek abayit, different kodshei bedek abayit can be mitztareif in order to create this shiur. Remember, here you do not have a time frame in which it needs to happen. When you have things that are violations of achila, then you have to be done b'gdei achilat pras. But when you're dealing with mi'ilah, there is no threshold of time. We saw earlier in the Masechta that you can have mi'ilah today and a mi'ilah from a year from now, and they're mitztaref to a single shiur because there's no time frame in which you're in violation. So same thing here with regards to kodshei mizbeach when they're combined here, kodshei bedek abayit. Could be two different kodshei bedek abayit, and they can be mitztaref over time because there is no time frame in which you need to have the hana'ah of a pruta that takes place. Now the chiddush here is, Echad kodshei mizbeach, ve'echad kodshei bedek abayit, mitztarfim ze im ze, the mi'ilah. So then when it comes to kodshei mizbeach and kodshei bedek abayit, they're mitztaref with each other for mi'ilah. Obviously not for pigul notar v'tamei, because those aren't relevant factors by bedek abayit. They're only relevant by kodshei mizbeach. But for mi'ilah, they do combine. Now, that is either despite the fact, or this is telling you something about mi'ilah. It might be despite the fact that the violation of mi'ilah is different by kodshei mizbeach and kodshei bedek abayit. By kodshei mizbeach, the violation is the fact that you didn't put something on the mizbeach that should have gone on the mizbeach. You misappropriated it. Whereas by Kodesh Berek HaBayit, it's theft. You've taken from Hekdesh what should have been belonging to Hekdesh. So it could be despite that factor that they combine, or it could be that's indicative of the fact that in the end, the issue of Mi'ilah, both for Kodesh Mizbeach and Kodesh Berek HaBayit, is theft. You're just taking something that belongs to Hekdesh, whether it's supposed to end up in the Mizbeach or end up in the coffers of the treasury. Either way, you're stealing from it, and that's why they combine. In addition, it is despite the fact that the repayment has to be done differently, which is a Kodesh Mizbeach, you have to give the Mi'ilah back to the Mizbeach. Kodesh Berek HaBayit, the Mi'ilah goes back to the Berek HaBayit. So despite the fact that the payment is different or the compensation to Hekdesh is different, they still are able to combine into a single unit in order to be a violation of Mi'ilah. All right, so now Gemara says, Hashto yesh tomar tiktani echad kodshei mizbeach vechad kodshei berek habayit. First of all, the Mishnah ended with what is seemingly the biggest chiddush, but subsumed within that chiddush is everything else that was mentioned in the Mishnah. Why don't you tell me that kodshei berek habayit and kodshei mizbeach combined? I know then that kodshei berek habayit combined and kodshei mizbeach combined, because that's much less of a chiddush than the fact that kodshei berek habayit and kodshei mizbeach combined. Despite the fact that one has Kedushat HaGuf and one has Kedushat HaMim, despite that fact, we say that they're Mitztareif, Kodesh Mizbeach and Kodesh Mizbeach Miboy. Then you have to tell me about Kodesh Mizbeach and Kodesh Mizbeach. That would be obvious that they should be able to combine in this case. Now Tosafot says, why don't we just say your classic literary style in a Mishnah, which is Lozu, Avzu. Not only this, but also this, meaning that it's just running through Chidushim, from the lesser of the Chidush to the greater of Chidushim. That's how it says, Eino Chanami, you could have done that, but it doesn't work in this case. Normally that literary style is acceptable, but over here, because of the way that it frames it as Echad Kodshei Mizbeach, Ve'echad Kodshei Berek HaBayit. The addition of the word Echad makes it that it sounds like Echad Kodshei Mizbeach, all Kodshei Mizbeach are a unit. Echad Kodshei Berek HaBayit, all of those are a unit, and then they both can combine together. So subsumed in the statement is all that information. You wouldn't even need to say Lozu Avzu, because even in this one statement, it would have already included all that information. And therefore, that's not a valid way to deal with it over here. The Gemara says, the reason it needs to do it is, Mibayim Mishum Tiktani Allah, V'chayev Aleh Mishum Pigul Notar V'tameh. They had to split it out because Kodshei Mizbeach have an additional factor, which is not true by Kodshei Berek HaBayit, which is the combination for Pigul, Notar, and Tameh. The Kodshei Berek HaBayit, Lo'ika Hochi. They don't have that. It's not relevant by Kodshei Berek HaBayit. Mishum Hochi Kapoligle. Therefore, it's split it out. And then, once it split out Kodshei Mizbeach, it also split out Kodshei Berek HaBayit, meaning that we still don't have a reason why you have to write Kodshei Berek HaBayit combined, because they have no chiddush in them whatsoever. So the answer is that the chiddush by Kodesh Mizbeach is Pigul Notar V'Tameh, is the additional factor. Once we already split out Kodesh Mizbeach, we also split out Kodesh Berek HaBayit. And then we come to the biggest chiddush, which tells us all the information, which is Echad Kodesh Mizbeach and Kodesh Berek HaBayit. They combine for Mi'ilah, but I still wouldn't have known Pigul Notar V'Tameh, and that's why I split out Kodesh Mizbeach by themselves. Amar Rabbi Yanai, Michavarto. Now generally, Michavarta means it is clear, it is white. We will come to the following understanding that Eim Chayivim Mishumila Ela Kodshei Berek HaBayit Ve'Ola Bilvad. So now, when he says it is clear, he's not referencing to anything that we've seen so far in the Mishnah and the Gemara. This is an independent statement, so it's the equivalent of saying Be'emet or Aval, which also means Be'emet. This is something that's got to be a given. This is something that you would have to conclude, which is that Mi'ilah only applies to Kodshei Berek HaBayit and Olah, because they have a common denominator between them, which is Matayim Ma, Damakra, Nefesh Kitimo Mao, Mi Kodshei Hashem. That a person has Mi'ilah from Kodshei Hashem. And the definition, he says, of Kodshei Hashem is Kodoshim Amyuchadim Hashem. Things that are solely dedicated to Hashem. So they have Yesh Behen Mi'ilah. Those things have Mi'ilah. Aval Kodshei Mizbeach, other Kodesh Mizbeach that have parts of it that go to the Kohanim, parts of it that go to the Balim, or depending on the Korban, there it would not have a din of Mi'ilah. So what he is saying is that Mi'ilah has to do with Kodshei Hashem, and Kodshei Hashem tells you, HaMiyuchadim LaShem, only things that are solely dedicated to Hashem. If you misappropriate them, that's where there's a din of Mi'ilah. So within Kodshei Perek HaBayit, that's easy, because Kodshei Perek HaBayit are completely dedicated to Hashem. There's no personal usage. There's nothing there that goes anywhere besides to the treasury, to the coffers of the Mikdash, and used towards the work and the upkeep of the Mikdash. On the other hand, when it comes to Kodshei Mizbeach, they are a combination of different items. Some of the items go to Mizbeach, some of the items go to the Kohanim, some of the items go to the Baalim. So there you can't call them Kodshei Hashem, with the exception of Olah, which is entirely dedicated to Hashem, even though the hide does not go to Hashem. Nevertheless, what we seemingly is being said here is that even though the hide doesn't go to Hashem, that's not part of the Korban that goes to the Mizbeach. That's not an edible, that's not a aspect of the Korban that is given to Baalim or eaten in other places. It happens to be something left over from the Korban. And that's how you have to deal with it. In the end, we won't have to deal with it because there's another way to include all of these items. But nevertheless, at this point, you just have to assume that the Olah is completely to Hashem, despite the fact that the hide goes to the Kohanim. The Gemara says, it's not our Mishnah. Kodshei Mizbeach mitztarfim zeh im zeh l'mi'ilah. Our Mishnah sounds like, generically, Kodshei Mizbeach can't combine for mi'ilah. It doesn't specify an olah. It says all korbanot. The Gemara answers, midrabanan. That's only a rabbinically ordained mi'ilah. It is not mi'ilah d'oraita. And therefore, you can't prove anything against Rabbi Yanai's statement, which was made about mi'ilah d'oraita. Kodshei kodoshim shishachtam bidarom, ma'alim ben, beginning of our mesechta, that kodshei kodoshim that you shecht in the darom, which is a psul in the korban, that doesn't remove the mi'ilah, and they remain with mi'ilah. So there too, it sounds like, this has to do with any kodshei kodoshim, not specifically an olah, midrabanan. Once again, that's only mi'ilah midrabanan. We saw a machloket earlier in the Masechta as to whether we were dealing with Mila Midrabanan or Mila Midoraita there in the Mishnah. It's not. Hanene min achatat keshichayo. If you get a no from a chatat while it's still alive, lo ma'al ajiv gom. There is no Mila until you're pugaim in the animal, because here you have to get hana from it while it's alive, and hana by itself would not be sufficient. You have to use the asset up somehow. As Rashi notes over here, it's a case, t'bechatat balat mum aymairi, t'bechatat that is balat mum, the kaimel d'mei, that's there for its monetary value. Therefore, your mo'el, when you cause a gam or a diminishment in the value of the animal. So for instance, you ride the animal, and that causes the animal to be weaker, it'll fetch less money in the marketplace afterwards, so that's a gam, that's a diminution in the value. And that diminution, you'll be chayav for mi'ilah. That's how Rashi explains it. So there you see that again, there's a korban chatat, and you're dealing with mi'ilah. Ukushi meita, after it dies, kevin shenene koshu mal, and once it dies, if you get any hana from it whatsoever, then there is mi'ilah. There you don't even need gum, you just need simply hana from it in order for there to be a mi'ilah. So then after it dies, where it has no inherent value, it's not going to be redeemed, because you don't redeem animals to feed them to the klavim. There, the mi'ilah is not a mi'ilah of value, it's a mi'ilah of kedusha. That mi'ilah of kedusha, you don't need gam, you just simply need hana. If you get hana, there's mi'ilah. And again, my answer is midrabanan, that it's only rabbinic, this mi'ilah, and that's how we get around the problem, or this seeming stirot, to the position of Rav Yanai. It says, umidoraitolo. Is that really true that there is no mi'ilah midoraita? Vatanya, don't we have a braita Rabbi Omer, ko chelev la'Hashem? All chelev goes to Hashem. Lerabot imurei kodshim kalim le'mi'ilah. That's to tell you that the kodshei kalim, the imurim, which is the part that is la'Hashem, that ko chelev la'Hashem makes it that it now is subject to mi'ilah. Where it says, midrabanan. Once again, it's a din derabonan. Vaha kro konosiv la. Isn't he bringing a pasuk? A little hard to argue that it's derabonan when you're bringing your proof from a pasuk. Asmachta ba'alma. It's only an asmachta. It's not a full limud over here. Now, the Baal HaYetos Tosafot speak about an alternate girsa over here, which brings a pasuk that Rabbi Yanai uses other places in order to learn out mi'ilah. And the way that the girsa would flow is that Didn't we hear from Rav Yanai that he has this following pasuk in terms of mi'ilah? So Rav Yanai brings at the end of Perakol Basar and Chulin that there is mi'ilah because he has a hekesh between Parakol and Mashiach with Zevach Shlamim from the word kasher yuram. And then he says, well, if that's the case, then Shlamim has a din, it would have a din of mi'ilah midoraita. Then how could it be that Rav Yanai is arguing that all of this is midorabanan? And then the answer would be, it is midorabanan. So then why did he bring a pasuk? Kra asmach to ba'alma. He says, Nero the Morish, Yechia de Garas, he keeps the girsa that, hey, we have it. He does not believe that Rav Yanai is a question because there in the Gemara, in Kol Basar, it's clear that Rav Yanai is bringing that as an asmachta and not as a doraita. And therefore there's no question from that Gemara at all. The question is here from Rabbi. And the answer again is midorabanan, then it's an asmachta bi'alma. But then we have ha'ula amar Rav Yochanan. What about ula amar Rav Yochanan, which we saw again on the first daf of the Masechta? Kodeshim shemetu yatsu midei mi'ilah dvar Torah. The kodeshim that die lose their mi'ilah midoraita, only have mi'ilah midorabanan. Again, there, they don't specify ula, they specify any kodeshim that this happens to. Bimai. If you're telling me that there's people who kodeshim berek abayit, even after they die, why should they lose their din of mi'ilah doraita? Should be no worse than you being makdish, your dump, for hektish. Meaning that when you're makdish, your garbage dump or your dung for hektish, you're successful at creating hektish on there, and there's a problem with mi'ilah. So why is a dead carcass any different than that? You can be makdish a dead carcass, so why should the mi'ilah go away? Just like there is mi'ilah. Why should you say over here there shouldn't be any mi'ilah? The Bali and Tosafot are very bothered by this because there's a big difference between that. First of all, need what's called hamada varocha b'kotshei berek abayit. So how is it that you can do hamada varocha if the animal's dead over here? So Tosafot says, oh, it's the manda amar that kotshei berek abayit don't require hamada varocha. Inami. Or, even according to the one who says that Kotshei Berek Abayit do require Hamad Arocha, it's a case where he did the Hamad Arocha before it died. He assessed the value before he did the Hamad Arocha, and then it died afterwards. So then again, you have the ability to redeem it. But what about the fact that Ein Podim Kodeshim Nachilam Liklavim? The Tosafot over here says, why isn't that applicable over here? And we know that the Gemara applies it both to Kotshei Mizbeach and Kotshei Berek Abayit. Even if you get all the things right to get it redeemed, you can't redeem it, because all you can do with it is feed it to the dogs. The Tosafot makes a distinction. He says that by Kotshei Mizbeach, the only thing you can do with it is feed it to the dogs. Because when you redeem it, there's nothing else left to do with it except Sulam and Tashim have to be eaten and have to be given to the dogs. You can't do that. By Berek Abayit, you're allowed to get Hanah from it. So he says that, yeah, you may not be able to redeem it in order to feed it to the dogs, but if you can get some other Hanah, you can redeem it for that hana'ah. Because if you want to use it for fuel, for a fire, you want to burn it, whatever it is you can do with it, that is permitted with regards to Kotshei Berek Abayit. As opposed to Kotshei Mizbeach, where you only can eat them, by Kotshei Berek Abayit, it's the value. So as long as you can generate value, and it's not value of something that is a diminishment in the Kedusha, or something that is a desecration of that Kedusha, like feeding it to dogs, then you can use it. So if you burn it in the pyre, if you do something with it, that's fine if you get hana from it. That's how he solves that problem. The bigger issue is that the Rambam paskins that the Kotshei Berek Abayit require hamada varocha, and he also paskins over here that the Kotshei Berek Abayit still have mi'ilah even after they die. So over there, the Rav Chaim Mibris explains a chakira in Kotshei Mizbeach versus Kotshei Berek Abayit that leads to that distinction, which is that the purpose of Kotshei Mizbeach is to put them on the Mizbeach. If they die, then they can no longer fulfill what their purpose is, which is to end up on the Mizbeach. Absent that, there's no reason for Mi'ilah, because the Mi'ilah was associated with the Kotshei Hashem, with the fact that it went on Mizbeach. Kotshei Berek Abayit, the reason they have Mi'ilah is because of value. The whole idea is this is value that goes to Mikdash, and you're taking that value, or you're misappropriating that value. Even after they die, they still have value associated with them. That hasn't disappeared. Now, it may be that you can't get access to that value because you can't do a Amar Barucho, or because Ein Podim Et Otam L'Achilam L'Klavim. But that is a technicality that prevents you from getting access to the value. But there still is inherent value left in the animal, and for that reason, there still might be mi'ilah associated with it, even after it has died. And that's the way he explains the sheet of the Rambam, that is in a way against what the Tosafot is suggesting here, that it's only according to those that don't say you need hamada v'aracha, or somehow you got around the problem. The Rambam says specifically you need hamada v'aracha, and there still is mi'ilah. So that's the way that the Rav Chaim explains that sheet of the Rambam. Now the Gemara says, if Ulam Rav Yochanan speaking about Kodshei Bedek Abayit, that's certainly not a case like that because the mi'ilah remains even after the death of the animal. So what is it? Ela Kodshei Mizbeach. D'oraita itbu mi'ilah. And here it's saying Kodshei Mizbeach. And here you can't argue that it's mi'derabanan because he says, Dvar Torah, they no longer have mi'ilah. Implying that before that point, they clearly had mi'ilah, mi'doraita. So the Gemara says, from that, you see clearly that there is d'oraita mi'ilah by older Kodshei Mizbeach besides an Ola, and that's a serious problem for Rav Yanai's position. Elohi ka'amre, debate Rav Yanai. This is what the Beit Midrash of Rav Yanai said. Mehai kro, Kodshei Bedek Abayit, Shemina Mina. Kodshei Mizbeach, Lo Shema Mina. So that pasuk of Kodshei Hashem, that we learn out Kodshei Bedek Abayit, Shemina Mina. That we learn out from there. Aval Kodshei Mizbeach, Lo Shemina Mina. Kodshei Mizbeach, we don't learn from that pasuk, but rather from another pasuk. All Rabbi Yanai is pointing out, it's not that there's no mi'ilah by other items. It's not overturning our whole concept of mi'ilah. He's just telling you what's the source for mi'ilah. Kodshei Hashem is not going to be the source for Kodshei Mizbeach. Only going to be the source for Bedek Abayit, maybe Olah. Even at this point, it's not clear that Olah comes from there because of the hide. Now you can really move Olah over. But Kodshei Mizbeach, we learn out from a different pasuk. That is a machloket Rashi and Tosafot, which pasuk we learn it from. Rashi over here brings Ela Mikra Achrina Naflan to Kodesh Mizbeach Idbu Milah Tichtiv Ish Ki Yochal Kodesh Bishkaga the Bechol Kodesh Mairi. He quotes what we saw in the Gemara before. Then in Parshat Emor it says when anybody eats Kodesh Bishkaga, you see over there that all of the Kodesh is problematic. Doesn't differentiate in Kodesh. You see that there is a problem with mi'ilah. When you eat a bishogeg, you have to pay a keren v'chomesh back. That's exactly what the punishment or penalty of mi'ilah is. You see there's no distinction. On the other hand, the Balei Tosafot say that the pasuk he's using is the pasuk that Ravi brought. Ravi brought kol chelev l'ashem to include emurim of kodshim kalim. And since it teaches you that kodshim kalim are good, then kodshim izbeach of kodshim kodshim are also good. How does that limud work? The Balei Tosafot suggests that once you learn from Kol Chelev Hashem that the Igmurim of Kodshim Kalim are included, then you can say that Kodshim Hashem is not taken literally. It's not that we learn it out of Kol Chelev Hashem, therefore also Kodshim is Beach of Kodshim Kodashim, because that's not what it's speaking about. It's speaking about Kodshim Kalim. We wouldn't necessarily make it as a Kavach Homer. We're just saying this is an indication that Kodshim Hashem that is mentioned by Mi'ilah is not uniquely associated with things that are miuchadim Hashem. If you see, Kol Chelev tells you otherwise. That is a megalim milta on the fact that Kodshei Hashem by mi'ilah has a broader scope to it, and that would include Kodshei Kodoshim as well. And the question that's asked by some is, why do you need a pasuk for Kodshim Kalim? Because by Kodshim Kalim, the emurim are kulalo Hashem. There's nothing that doesn't go to Hashem from the emurim of Kodshim Kalim. So why isn't that included from Kodshei Hashem? Why you need Kol Chelev L'Hashem? What you see from that is that Mi'ilah, when you speak about something that's Kodesh L'Hashem, has to be something that was Kodesh from the outset, from the moment that Kedusha devolved upon it, that it had a din of Mi'ilah, all the way through the point where you got the Hanah from it. Kodshim Kalim don't work that way. Kodshim Kalim, when you Makdish them, they don't have Mi'ilah until Zrikat Adam, until Huvrara Devar, until it's clarified what belongs to the Balim Kohanim, and what belongs to Hashem. So that tells you that that is a diminished form of Kiddusha or Mi'ilah because it didn't start from the outset that way. Therefore, you need a specific pasuk to include it because it wouldn't have been called Miyuchadim L'Hashem if it were not for the fact that you had Kol Chelev L'Hashem. All right, so now we move on to the next Mishnah. Chamisha Dvarim Be'olah Mitztarfim Zeim Zeh. There are five parts of the Olah that are Mitztaref together. It's not so clear here. Again, the Mishnah doesn't tell you what they're mitzareif for. Rashi over here tells you that they are mitzareif for pigol, notar, and tamei. If you eat a combination of these items, a kezayit worth, You're going to be chayav bigul notar and tamei, or mishum me'ila nami, he says. And he also mentions male machutz. He mentions all the same items that were mentioned in the previous Mishnah. These are the same things that you have over here. And he says, v'afagav d'tana reishta nami kodshem izbeach mitzarfim zeim zeh. So if we already had all kodshem izbeach mitzareif, what do I need you to tell me this? Now you're telling me it's all the same isurim, and that it's kodshem izbeach that mitzareif. Itzrech v'mitnei. This is a chiddush here, because you're combining items that are not particular from the korban. And that is because you're going to combine basar, chelev, those are from the korban itself. But you're also including the solet, and the yayin, and the shemen that come from the nisachim that come along with the korban. Minchat nisachim that include the solet and the shemen, and the yayin that is part of the wine libations, and the nischei yayin that come with a korban. And so therefore, you need to have the chiddush here, is that even though these are not physically part of the korban, since they accompany the korban, they can combine with the korban to cause that problem, or to reach the minimum shiur that you need for any one of these violations of male bechutz, pigo notar v'tamei, and mi'ila. Now, what's interesting over here is that you're combining liquids and solids. So that presents a little bit of a problem, because why would you combine liquids and solids when they have different shiurim? The rule of thumb is that when you have the different shiur for violation, you can't combine. You have to have the same shiur even to be considered for a combination or be able to be consolidated into a single shiur. Here you're dealing with basar, chelev, solet, which are all ochel and subject to a gezayit. Then you have yayin and shemen, which are liquids that are subject to a revi'it. So then how do you combine the two? So either you have to say it's a situation in which the liquid is already absorbed into the solid. When a liquid is absorbed into a solid or acts like a solid, then it becomes a shiur of a kezayit. Or you can invoke the Gemara in Shabbat. We also saw in Minav Kot that when it comes to liquids, a revi'it of liquid, when it coagulates, turns into a kezayit. That's what the Gemara says. Although that would have much broader implications, because that would mean that anywhere a revi'it and a kezayit would combine, and we don't see that, including in places like Yom HaKippurim, where they're not combining together. It would be helpful to say it here, but it's too broad or too extensive, that type of connection, because then you would never have a separation between liquids and solids in any place, not just over here. Now, the reason that the Mishnah had to pick an olah is because an olah has these unique features to it. An olah has the aspect that, number one, it's brought as a nidava. Nisachim are associated with korbanot nidava, not with korbanot chuva. So if you have to bring a chatat and asham, they don't have, almost all the time, they do not have nisachim that are associated with them. So bringing a chatat and asham, you wouldn't have the solet, yayin, and shemen. On the other hand, you can't bring something like a shlamim, which is a voluntary offering, because a shlamim doesn't have the basar. Because the basar in the shlamim goes to the kohanim and goes to the balim, doesn't go on the mizbeach. So the reason you have to use an olah over here is because the olah is the only one who has all of these items present in the korban, to demonstrate to you that all of these items can be gained together. And then, shisha b'todah, the todah adds an additional item, which is, you have basar, chelev, solet, yayin, v'shemen, which are all the items that are mentioned by the olah, but it's also the lechem. The lachme todah can also be combined into this to create a single shear, consolidate to a shear for the violations over here. Right now, matni le ravuna, over here there's some questions about the girsa. If you look in the Shita Mekubetzet, it's Rav Huna L'Rabba B'Rei. If you look in the Tosafot, he has L'Rabba instead of L'Rova. So it's a question if he was telling over the Mishnah to his son Rova, to his son Rabba, or is he telling it over to his Rebbe Rava or his Rebbe Rova. Either way, he said it, Chamisha Dvarim Ba'olam Mitztarfim Zeim Zeh. There are five things in the world that are mitzareif together. Amalei, ba'olam kamart? You said, ba'olam? All things have this combination? Don't we have a bright, whether this is a quote of our Mishnah or a bright, that's not clear because it's not exactly our Mishnah. It says, vav dvarim shebo todah. There's six things by a todah. Basar, chelev, solet, yayin, v'shemen, v'lachmei todah. So you see that todah is not in that category of five things. It has six things. So how can you say ha'olam? How can you say everything? So Amalei Tznei Be'olah, he says, amend that Mishnah to read Olah. So now, if he's saying it over to his son, it's possible that he said Ola, and his son misheard him saying Olam, and then questioned him, and he said, no, I said Ola. Could be that he was trying to test his son to see if he was paying attention. He used the word Olam instead of Ola, and the son responded by questioning him. Or if he's saying this to his Rebbe, he's just reviewing the Mishnayot, and he misquoted the Mishnah with Olam, and the Rebbe is correcting him and saying it should be Be'ola. But Olam, Rashi over here brings one possibility, which is what we said. Or he brings an Inyan Acher, Bo'olam kamart, b'chol davar sh'bo'olam mitztafim elu, chamisha dvarim. In all things in the world, they combine. It includes things that are chulin. Not only things that go on the Mizbeach, but even chulin would be mitztafim. So Rashi gives those two possibilities as to what the olam problem is over here. Does it mean all kodashim and that's the problem? Or does it mean kodashim and chulin? And he says, wait a minute, we saw in the Mishnah, Todah, which tells you that we're dealing in the world of kodashim, not in the world of chulin. Umar says, Tanina, Dahat, the Tanu Rabbanan. Now we have a Mishnah that backs up this position that we know from the Braita. Olot, the Emurim, Mitztarfim, the Kezayit, Olotam, Bachutz, Ulukhayelem, Mishum, Pigonot, Arvadame. And Ola, plus the Emurim, they combine together for a Kezayit in order to be Chayav for Hala Bachutz, or Pigonot, Arvadame. Tani, Beola, in, Bishlamim, Lo. So we say that that's true by an Ola. That's not true by a Shlamim. Begar says, Pishlama lo latam bachutz. All right, I understand by halah bachutz, Ola de kalilhi mitztarfim. By a Ola, where both the basar and the chelib go on the mizbeach, then I understand why only applies to an Ola, doesn't apply to a Shlamim. Because by Shlamim, a basar doesn't go on the mizbeach, and therefore it's not going to be a chayav for halah bachutz, so it can't be combined. So that's why you have Ola mitztareif, Mishlamim lo mitztarfim. By Pigul Notar V'Tamei, that distinction doesn't exist. Shlamim, am I lo mechayev? Why aren't Shlamim chayav? Pigul Notar V'Tamei is a din in Achilat Mizbeach and Achilat Adam. So irrespective of which one, you can have Achilat Adam or Achilat Mizbeach, and either one of those would be a sufficient grounds for making you chayav. Batznan, kol ha-pigulim mitztarfim ze im ze, kol ha-notarot mitztarfot zo im zo. And we have coming up in the Mishnah, all pigul can be mitztareif one and the other, and all notar can be mitztareif. So if that's the case, then even when you have pigul that's associated with mizbeach, and pigul that's associated with achilat adam, those two pigulim can combine. And since they can combine, why would you differentiate between an olah and a shlamim? So the Gemara is now left in a difficult bind as to why does this bright only say that basar of the Ola and the umarim of the Ola are mitztareif for kazayit, for halal bachutz, which there we understand, but what about pigul notar v'tameh? Ela eima, you have to amend the bright to say the following. Ola ve'emureha mitztarfim zeim zeh lekazayit lizrok aleim et adam. That the emurim and the basar of an Ola, they can be combined in order to do zrikat adam. V'kevan de mitztafrim lizrok et adam chayav. And since they are able to be combined for zrikat adam, therefore you are chayav aleem for halah bachutz or for pigul notar v'tameh. But this is uniquely associated with an ola and not associated with a shlamim. Why is that? Because man katani law. Who's the author of this position? Rabbi Yoshiahi. It's based on Rabbi Yeshua's Shita, the Tanya Rabbi Yeshua Meir, Kol Hazvachim Shebetorah, any Zevach, meaning Korban, in the Torah, Shenishtayer Mehen Kezayit Basar, Ukezayit Chelev, Zoreket Adam. Now, the Vav over here doesn't mean and, it means or. As long as you have either a Kezayit of Basar, or a Kezayit of Chelev left over, you can do Zrikat Adam. Chatzi Zayit Basar, Chatzi Kezayit Chelev, Eno Zoreket Adam. If you only have a Chatzi Zayit of Chelev and a Chatzi Zayit of Basar, even though together you have a kezayit, but they're not in the same category. That's because he believes that achilat mizbeach and achilat adam are separate, and therefore you need a kezayit within one of them to allow you to do zrikat hadam. You need shirayim from either basar or from the chelev in order for there to be zrikat hadam. Again, we spent a lot of time in this in the Gemara in Zvachim and Menachot discussing why or how they learn these things out, but we're taking for a given here that that's Rabbi Yeshua's position. Ubeola, by Ola is the exception to the rule, afilu kechatzi zayit basar, chatzi zayit chelev, zorekat adam, yipnei shu kula kalil. Over there, there's an exception to the rule because the entirety goes on the Mizbeach. That means it's all Achilat Mizbeach. So even if you have Chelev and Basar, they can combine over there because they have a Chatzi Zayit each, and their combination now is allowed to go on the Mizbeach. Ube Mincha, Afilu Kula Kayemet Lo Yizrok. And if the Mincha's around, even if it's totally there, you can't do Zrikat Adam. Umar says, Mincha Mayavititai. What is Zrikat Adam have anything to do with the Mincha? Doesn't seem to be a non sequitur completely. Umar Papa, Minchat Nisachim. No, it's the Minchat Nisachim that's associated with the Ola. Even if you have the Minchat Nisachim around, you have no Chelev, no Basar from the Ola, but you have the Minchat Nisachim. You would think maybe that's enough to do Zrikat Adam for the Ola, because you have some residual or something that's affected by the Zrikat Adam. That's what it comes to tell you, that it's not. It's not from the Guf of Eima. Therefore, that's not sufficient residual in order to permit you to do Zrikat Adam in this case. Obviously, this is Rabbi Yeshua Shita, Lafuke, that comes to exclude the position of Rabbi Eliezer. Because Rabbi Eliezer says that you're allowed to do Zrikat Adam even if there is no basar, or even if there is no chilef. Again, here, the Zrikat Adam is, according to Rabbi Yeshua, facilitating a number of things to happen. First of all, you're allowed to do the Zrikat Adam, because the Zrikat Adam is permitted when you have a kezayit left over. That needs to either be a kezayit basar, kezayit chilef, by the Olah, it's the exception to the rule, where you can have a combination of chilef and basar. So that's what the statement is, that Olah be'morim mitztarfim. They are mitzareif together to allow you to do Zrikat Adam. That ability to do Zrikat Adam then has further impact, which is since it's a good Zrikat Adam, it generates Pigul, Notar, Vitameh. Because remember that when you have Pigul, you have to have Kit, Haksharato, Kaksulato. Just like you do the Zrikat Adam for Hefshar, you need to make it Pasul, but Pigul. So you need a proper Zrikat Adam. So this is considered to be a proper Zrikat Adam that it will trigger Pigul. And then, Notar and Tameh, we already learned that Tumata Guf is restricted to eat it when Tahorim can eat it. So you need a proper Zrikat Adam. And Notar has a Hekesh to Tameh. So therefore, you need it to be that the Zrikat Adam is done properly. And that, according to Rabbi Yeshua, can only be accomplished with an Olah when you have half the Kazayit of Basar and half the Kazayit of Chelet. No other Kurban can you have that take place. And that's why the Breita is limited to Olah and Emurim. Alright, so now the next Mishnah says, Hashruma, Utrumat Maser, Utrumat Maser Shel Demai, Vechala, Vabikurim, Mitztarfim, Zeim Ze, Leesor, Ulechayim, Lehmet Achomesh. All of these items combine, in order to get to a single shiur, to violate the consumption or not from Truma, and they also combine to obligate you to pay a Karen Vechomesh when you eat Truma, Bishogeg. So, underlying assumption here is that all of these are truma. Now, with regards to truma, trumat maser, and trumat maser shel demai, that's obvious. That's what the Gemara will say, because they're all called truma. The problem is that by chala and bikurim, how do you know they're also called truma to combine them? So the Gemara will deal with that. The other thing is, mitztarfim zem zel esor, it's not clear here what the isur is. The way Rashi explains it is that they combine together in order to be a starter or a yeast that affects chulin. If you're making dough of chulin and you put in the combination of these items together that they equal up to an amount that would cause it to rise, then there'll be oser, that of chulin. So that's what it means according to the Rashi. The others suggest that it has to do with dry goods, and that we know that the dry goods bitol is 100 to 1. So here, if you have a combination of items that equal up to a sa'ah, then you're going to need 100 to wipe it out. You don't look at each one individually. You look at them on a combined basis as to what you need in order to have the bitul. Now, the chayilim et achomesh is interesting because when it comes to items that are vadai, then I understand why you have to pay a chomesh. In a case of trumat maser shel demai, there's no obligation to pay a chomesh. Because generally when you redeem something and it's your own item, you have to add on a chomesh. But trumat maser shel demai, you don't add on a chomesh. So, why do you have to pay a chomesh when you eat it bishkaga, or you do it improperly? That's because Rabbanan wanted to solidify this din in order that they're not being mizalzel in it. That's the way the Rambam explains why there's a chomesh paid by Tumat Maser Shel Demai. We still make you pay a chomesh, otherwise people would not take the din of Tumat Maser Demai seriously. They would be mizalzel in it if we didn't make them pay a chomesh, even though it's all misafek. And technically, when you're mafresh tuma, maser shel tuma, you don't have to take off an extra chomesh if you're redeeming it yourself. Nevertheless, to teach me the Rabbanan to strengthen the din of tumat maser shel tuma. Now, this is what we just quoted in the Gemara. Kol pigulim mitzarvim zemze. All pigul is mitzarev. Kol notarim mitzarvim zem. All notar is mitzarev together. Gemara says, my taima. What's the reason that in the first part of the Mishnah they all combine? Kol ikre truma. They're all called truma. Gabei chalaktiv reshit arisotechem chala tarimu truma ki trumata goren kein tarimu ota. So there you can see that even though it's reshit arisutechem, which is chala, it says, El says about it, tarimu truma, that you'll take it off as a truma, as a separation for the kohen. The remainder of the pasuk even reinforces that more so by saying that it's very similar to the trumata goren. So it actually explicitly creates a hekesh between the two items. Gabi pigurim nami ikre truma detanya. Is it right that it says in the pasuk in parshat re'eh, and the bright, the Torah Shebaal Peh tells us that the Trumat Yodech over there, Elu Bikurim. That's a reference to Bikurim according to the bright, according to the Mesorah. If that's the case, then Bikurim are also called Truma. Aval Inach Lo Tzrichei. The other ones you don't need that for. It's an interesting language. You don't see this in the Gemara in other places. But the other ones there, you don't need it because it's obvious that they're truma, because they're called truma from the outset, and they're known as truma. That's why they combine. All right, we're going to stop here by the Mishnah on the bottom of Tetvavim and Bet.